Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of the Value Stocks podcast with your host, Alex Biddleton. Today is April 24th and 2019, and we are talking about NACCO Industries, symbol NC, on the New York Stock Exchange. Current market cap for NACCO is $288 million, with an enterprise value of $214 million, and a forward PE of 8. The stock is currently trading at a share price of $41, up from a low of $28 in October 2018. I currently have a position in NACCO at an average price of about $33, which makes up about 5% of my portfolio. The initial reason I wrote about NACCO was because another blogger I followed had written about this company in the past, and it was also a company that I felt fell into my circle of competence as a result of my years of experience working with mining contractors in the oil sands industry. When I dove into analyzing the business, the investment case and associated risks made a lot of sense to me. While NACCO is operating in a poor industry that does not have great future prospects, they have managed to position themselves into a niche where they manage to produce impressive owners' earnings and return value back to shareholders. NACCO Industries is a company that would typically be considered to be part of the mining industry, and more specifically that the mining of coal and lime rock. NACCO operates surface mines that supply coal under long-term contracts to utility companies that are usually right next to their mines. NACCO also maintains and operates drag lines and other equipment under contracts with sellers of aggregates, primarily lime rock. In total, NACCO operates 10 surface coal mines and 17 limestone quarries, having delivered more than 37 million tons of coal in both 2017 and 2018, and 30 million cubic yards of limestone in 2017 and 35 million cubic yards of limestone in 2018. Within NACCO's industry classification, there are many other subclassifications that a company can be designated. For example, while NACCO is closely related to the mining of coal and lime rock, they do not typically, with a few exceptions, own the resource that they are mining or have any risk exposure to the market price of that particular commodity. NACCO generally falls into what is considered to be the contractor bucket, which can be somewhat confusing because to some extent their fortunes are tied to the future of the industry in which they work. But in saying that, the economics of their business are significantly different than that of their customers, who are considered the owners of the commodity or asset. At today's prices, I believe that NACCO presents a very good case for increasing its book value over the next few years, well beyond what its market value is trading at today, and an investor could see an upside of up to 100%. There are two major parts of NACCO's coal business, unconsolidated and consolidated. In 2018, they derived over 75% of their consolidated revenue from two customers and over 55% of earnings of unconsolidated operations from two customers. NACCO generally operates in regions where they are able to negotiate favorable cost plus compensation schemes in their contract. This would indicate that NACCO holds a lot of bargaining power due to various reasons, including a lack of suitable competition. Compare this to the oil sands region in Canada, where the speculative boom in the early 2000s created an environment of massive investment in mining equipment in response to the continual announcement of new projects with long lifespans. As these projects got postponed and or canceled, the region quickly became an area with an overabundance of equipment and labor competing for fewer scopes. Today, many of the oil sand mining service contractors are compensated on a predetermined lump sum or unit rate, which reflects a very competitive atmosphere amongst companies who compete on price and project risk tolerance. NACCO, on the other hand, operates in areas which are much smaller, older, and have not experienced a period of massive growth to the same extent in a very long time. This helps companies like NACCO when these contracts come up for tender because there is not much competition built up in the area. With the future of the coal industry in the U.S. still being a bit foggy, there are also not a lot of companies who are willing to enter these markets because they can't forecast the return on a new business venture. that may have only a few more years of existence. That being said, just because an industry may wrap up operations at any given point does not necessarily mean money cannot be made in the short term by companies like NACO. It is just that it is more dependent on entering the right contract with the right terms to ensure the company protects its downside risk. The best form of contract to perform work under is one where the contractor is guaranteed to cover their costs and be compensated at a predetermined rate, also known as cost plus arrangements. In many of these cases, the owners are price takers from their contractors. While NACO is not out to start charging the ultimate amount the market can bear, they have the ability to structure their contracts in a way that at least allows them to protect their downside risk and make a profit for the undetermined amount of years left in work that they have for a given customer. So the work is profitable at their unconsolidated mines and Lime Rock quarries. The only unknown is the volume of work left. There is still some business risk with NACO, however. Their consolidated mine has reclamation liabilities, and their compensation at these mines is linked to a set price of the commodity delivered that can vary depending on the combination of certain indexes. If the power plant associated with the mine closes down, NACO will be liable for any remaining costs associated with the mine's closure, which will weigh on profits from other areas of the business. As an investor, our best hope for NACO's management is to continue focusing on being a contractor rather than an owner of any resources, and that they allocate all access capital to shareholders in an efficient way. The key to investments like this is to have a high degree of confidence that management won't try to diversify. One can only get a sense of this based on the history of management's actions and track record. So far, NACO seems to be doing the right thing. They spun off Hamilton Beach in 2017, and they have renewed a share buyback program. I believe there is enough small opportunities for NACO to continue to get more contracts in a cost plus arrangement in the U.S. over time due to their size, competencies, competition, and financial condition. As of NACO's most recent annual quarterly report, they have only $6 million of long-term debt, current assets of $164 million, and stockholders' equity of $215 million, and a market capitalization of $288 million. In NACO's 2018 fiscal year, they recorded free cash flow of $34 million, which equates to an 11% return on today's market price. If I were to consider this a new business venture, I would want to get my $288 million out of this company in a short amount of time as possible, just to break even, and hope that there is some residual value left over in the company, which I could either sell to a new owner or continue owning as a business entity without investing more capital. If I assume the company can produce on average $20 to $40 million of owner earnings per year on average, I could get my money back in 7 to 14 years. And if I assume that there will be some sort of residual business left over that could be valued at a multiple of 10 to 12 times, then we could expect this stock to double after accounting for the impact of potential buybacks. How do we calculate the probability of this type of event happening? There's no way to know exactly other than estimating the chances of the company being able to adapt to changing market conditions or that coal opportunities will not disappear overnight. This could be a very volatile stock if any of their customers cease production at any of their plants or greatly reduce their coal requirements. The stock could be greatly reduced as earnings plummet from a loss of a customer, but given that NACO has little debt, they are unlikely to go out of business as long as they don't splurge on any big investments that require significant capital. If NACO collects $30 million of owner's earnings over the next 5 years, they will have had a total of $150 million to allocate on top of the $250 million of equity they already have tied up in the business, which could partially be returned to shareholders via buybacks, as well as having an entity left over that can still be valued based on future cash flows. Mining is still a very viable business in the U.S., and it would just take NACO to find a good niche within the U.S. market that is complementary to their competencies and skill sets to transition to new industry if coal were to slowly go away. In the very best best case scenario, NACCO could reduce their shares by up to 50% in the next 5 years and maintain the same level of owners' earnings, which at a multiple of 7 to 10, their stock could be worth up to $100 per share. Now, this is in no way guaranteed, but with a combination of management's history of allocating capital, the trend of focusing primarily on cost-plus contracts, and the expectation that NACCO can navigate their business to providing services to other owners, that mine a multiple of commodities, I think NACCO will still have a viable business in 5 years after collecting and allocating substantial profits back through their share buybacks and dividends. The upside is tremendous for NACCO. I think it is much more likely that NACCO will still be around in 5 years doing some level of mining work if they can refrain from investing in developing resources and remain conservative with their finances. Anyways, that's all I have for you today on NACCO. If you have any comments or questions regarding this episode, please send me an email at valuestockspodcast@gmail.com, or you can send it directly to me at alex@stockwriteups.com. We also have a free memo you can sign up for at stockwriteups.com, and just covers basic investing topics and the stocks we will be working on or looking at in the future. Remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. We are not making any recommendations or providing financial advice. I encourage everyone to do their own research before making an investment or seek the advice of an experienced finance professional. Thanks and have a great day. And looking forward to the next episode. Bye.